Our scripture verse for today comes from Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Please bow as we seek the Spirit's guidance. Our Lord, our God, as we open your book of life, give me clarity of words, Lord, and let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear, Lord, that this worship service will be beneficial to us and pleasing to you. Amen. Luke 17, starting in verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." You may be seated. As we see here, our Lord is working his way toward Jerusalem in a meandering route, going from village to village. And these villages, as we were told earlier, is where his disciples were sent earlier. They were sent out 2 by 2 to go to these very villages. And now Jesus is going there. And perhaps some of these people may have been witnessed to by John the Baptist as well. Now I bring that up because it's important. Because we are told in the scriptures that every matter should be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. So as Jesus goes into these villages, he is either the second or the third witness concerning himself in these villages to the people. You see, our Lord never worked outside of the confines of the law given by God to Moses. Because that law is perfect, Jesus followed the law. Let every matter be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. And that is exactly what he was doing as he went to these villages that were already prepared to hear his message by his disciples. And also we know that Jesus was healing people wherever he went. Sometimes we're told he healed all who came to him. So there were a lot of people healed. The miracles just give a small indication, a small sample of all the miracles that Jesus did. We're also told, I think it's at the end of the book of John, that if everything Jesus did was recorded, the whole world couldn't hold the books. So Jesus did change the lives of a lot of people with his healing. And also we are told the news of Jesus was spread far and wide of what he could do, what he had done. And we have to take that into consideration. Because when these 10 lepers who were outside the gate of a city, because it says as Jesus was entering the city, they cried out to him. They knew that Jesus was their only hope. We see in verse 11, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Have pity on us. They needed pity. Leprosy, the type that they had, was a death sentence. And we know they had the worst kind. It wasn't because leprosy was used not only for the severe kind, it was other ailments. Am I humming a little bit here? But because they were standing at a distance, they were outcast. They were quarantined from society. In Leviticus 13:5, we see anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside of the camp. And in 2 Kings 7, when the Jews were under attack, and the prophet said that, food's going to be real cheap, we have a little indication of some lepers that were there. Because God caused the enemies, the Armenians, to flee on their own and leaving all the food. But it gives a little indication of the desperate state of leprosy and the lepers of that time. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. Again, they're outside the city. They said to one another, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Armenians and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us there, we die." They had a hopeless condition, and it was exaggerated because of the famine. But basically what they're saying, what's the difference where we die? We're going to die. They knew they were going to die, even without the famine. Sometimes people in this condition, dying was a real blessing, as a matter of fact. But we know they were outside the gate. They were outcasts, social outcasts. The only association they would have with people was other lepers or their family members bringing them food and leaving it at a safe distance for them. Leprosy as a condition, it was a skin condition. However, as it progressed, it affected the internal organs. The nerves would be attacked and destroyed. You would start losing feeling in your face, and then it would move to your extremities, your hands, your fingers. And your voice box was always affected. You could always tell a leper as soon as they spoke with a raspy voice. And over time, your extremities would basically be absorbed by the body or just rot away. So not only were you outcast from society and enduring horrific physical trauma, you walked around with rotting flesh. The stench of death was with you continually. It was a horrifying disease. Many people called it the disease of inches. It would take you slowly, 1 inch at a time, 1 centimeter at a time, over a period of 10 to 30 years. Think about that. Knowing you were passing away, nothing you could do about it for 10 or 30 years, knowing no way you were going to get better. You reached a permanent outcast situation. No hugs or kisses from your family. The only companions you had were other lepers, which would be a blessing, having some companionship. But it would also be a constant reminder to what your fate would be. Because as you were with other lepers who were more advanced in their disease, you would see their horrifying conditions of losing their arms and their legs, their feet, and then themselves becoming completely helpless. And you knew all along that that was your future. So these people were helpless, these 10 lepers. So I think you can understand why the scripture said they cried out in one voice. That's what it implies here, because if one cried out, he couldn't have been heard. It affects your voice. And we know they stood at a distance. They were required to keep away from people. And over the crowds, they combined their voice to be heard. Because they knew all their only hope was the mercy they'd seen in Jesus Christ. The only way to be saved. They were lost to this world and they knew it. But fortunately, Jesus was busy doing His Father's business. And that was to reveal Himself to mankind. And that is exactly why He was sent, to reveal Himself to all of mankind. So these lepers were fortunate that our Lord was revealing Himself to the world. And they grasped onto that blessed hope. Just imagine their desperate cry. Lord, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, the Lord did hear them and had compassion on them. When He saw them, He said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, why would He say that? He didn't do anything but tell them, go show yourself to the priest. As I mentioned earlier, our Lord always followed the laws laid down, given to Moses. You see, if somebody had a skin disease, an ailment, they were required to show it to the priest. The priest would examine them, and if they weren't sure, they'd quarantine them for 7 days and check again. But if they determined that it was incurable leprosy, then the people would be permanently outcast. So the priests were the health inspectors. In Leviticus 13:6 says, on the seventh day the priest is to examine them again, and if the sore has faded and has not spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce them clean. It is only a rash. They must wash their clothes and they will be clean. So we see here, the priest was the determiner. He knew if it was chronic or not. They were trained in that. And in Leviticus 13 again, it is a chronic skin disease and the priest shall pronounce them unclean. He is not to isolate them because they are already unclean. See, if you weren't sure, they would isolate them for 7 days. Then they determine if they are clean or not. But if they determined right away that it was leprosy, they didn't even bother quarantining them. They sent them outside of the camp permanently. So when Jesus told these lepers to go show themselves to the priest before Jesus had done anything to heal them, they had to go on faith. Because the priest probably wouldn't even want to see them if they were lepers yet. And if he knew that they were the ones that he outcast permanently. So they had to go by faith that Jesus had a plan for them. And they did. They went on faith. But where did they get that faith? Where'd they come across hearing about Jesus? It was spread by others. His fame spread from region to region. Those who saw His miracles, those who witnessed His miracles, His healings, His message. What do you think these lepers heard about or said when they heard that a man could cure diseases? Can you hear him asking, well, can he cure a leper? Has he ever cured leprosy? And yeah, he has, because in Luke 5, we're told he did that. So these guys went by faith to see the priest. But that faith came from hearing from the witnesses of others. maybe even the Lord's disciples. It should be a great lesson for us. How are people to know about Jesus unless they hear about him? Again, he said, when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Just think about that. Here these 10 guys are sitting there wondering, well, Jesus didn't do anything, but he told us to show ourselves to the priest. And these are walking dead men. And 1 minute they're heading toward the priest, and all of a sudden they realize that they're healed. That 10, 20, or 30 years of agony was just lifted from them. The separation from their families, the total decay of their bodies would be gone. Life changed in a moment. They were literally snatched from death's door, saved from impending misery. Now you would think after a miraculous healing like that, that all 10 of them would recognize the divinity of Jesus Christ. But only one did. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. The only one to come back to praise Jesus and thank him was a Samaritan half-breed dog, as the Jews would call him. A Samaritan who was considered unclean, even if he wasn't a leper. The Jews had no association with the Samaritans. Yet it was a Samaritan, the one who was considered unclean by the Jews, who came and praised God and recognized Jesus for who he was, the Messiah. He fell at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, where were the other nine? And we know that the other nine were Jews because he called this only one a foreigner. We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Well, where were they? Where were the other nine? Well, what was the Jews' greatest sin? We are the children of Abraham. We're already going to heaven. And Jesus did not meet the requirements for the Messiah that they wanted. So they didn't recognize him as God. You know, their bias, their presuppositional thinking could not even be overcome by miraculous works performed on themselves. They were saved physically, but they were still spiritually lost. 10 healed, 1 saved. As in 19, he tells the one who came back, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you from your sins. You know, our Lord healed to demonstrate his divinity. He healed to prove that he was God. In Luke 5, our Lord ties this together, why he was healing people, or why he says your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk, are pretty much the same thing, demonstrating divinity. And this is when the guys got lowered that guy down through the roof, and Jesus said, and when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began questioning, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone? They recognized what Jesus was saying. I'm God. I'm forgiving this guy's sins. Why do you question in your hearts, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he immediately rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on, went home, glorifying God. Jesus was saying, when I heal people, it's to demonstrate my divinity. When I forgive their sins, it's to demonstrate that I am the Messiah. That was the lesson he was saying. But praising God is what people do who are saved and they recognize Jesus as the Messiah. This guy, he glorified God publicly in front of the Pharisees and the scribes. That probably got him into trouble. The Samaritan came back and fell at Jesus' feet, praising God, publicly praising God. You know, that's the thing. There's a few verses we looked at tonight, but these verses are so full of lessons and truths. First off, we are all walking dead men. Physically, if the Lord tarries, we will all die. And in reality, isn't the aging of our bodies just like leprosy? As we get older, our feet and our fingers don't work like they used to. Our internal organs start to decay. And the longer the Lord lets us tarry here, the more helpless we become as we age. Till we end up like babes, not even be able to take care of ourselves. Isn't that a great parallel with leprosy? Except it takes 70, 80, or 90 years, where leprosy only took 30 or 20 years. I think it was Baxter who said, I preach as a dying man speaking to dying men. We should all realize our time on this earth is limited. We are pilgrims here. Death will come, and that is the most important thing for us. Where will we spend eternity? This is not our true home. And second, leprosy is like sin. Sin is the leprosy of the soul. If the corruption is not healed by Jesus Christ, the corruption continues, and heaps up more guilt upon ourselves. Until in the end, we die, but the corruption does not end. We go to a place where the worm never dies and the flame never ends. Leprosy truly is like sin. It advances further and further until our Lord Jesus Christ covers those sins. And that's another lesson here. God has given man a way of escape from that corruption of sin, that dreaded future of total corruption, and that is Jesus Christ. Our Lord was about His Father's business, as I mentioned earlier, when He walked among men. God sent our Lord here for our benefit, to make an escape for those who will accept it and lay their trust in Him. But also we know that many of us heard about our Lord's love through the words of others, the testimony of others, just like these lepers heard of the testimony of Jesus from others. That is God's prescribed way of furthering His message, by other Christians talking to the lost, talking to their family members, talking to their friends. We are the communicators of God's truth. Also, we see here that many receive miraculous blessings from God. Yet few come to the true knowledge of God. In this case, 10 were healed physically, yet only one was healed spiritually, saved from death's doors. But you know, that shouldn't surprise us, for God tells us few enter in. Many do walk down the wrong road, which says it is the right road, but it's the wrong road. But you know, isn't that our Lord's ministry? Thousands and thousands were healed. But yet the Jews still killed Jesus. They wanted the physical blessings from God, the earthly blessings from God. Yet they did not want to submit their life to His Lordship. And you know, that's a lesson we have seen through history, though. You know, the Dutch Republic, when that was formed, it wasn't that everybody was Christian. It was enough Christians, faithful Christians, that they influenced society, and the Christian ethic was brought to a society. And every time a Christian ethic is brought to a society, the dominion, the standard of living, everything goes higher and higher. Because when there's honesty in trade, honesty in business, it benefits all people. So each one of you are a blessing to other people when you live out your life according to God's plan. That is what changes society. When Christians influence the society, others benefit, even the non-believers. Dominion is never where everybody becomes Christian. It's where the Christian ethic is practiced. In Geneva, at the time of Calvin, even the pagan businessmen always wanted to hire Christian managers. Why? Because the managers controlled the purse strings, the finances. And these owners realized that when they hired Christians, they didn't have to watch them, because they were under God's authority, and they feared God more than fearing getting caught by the man they're working for. But see, the Christian ethic advanced even in the pagan world, because even the pagans recognize honesty and integrity in people. And that's what they want for their stuff. But we are a blessing when we are in Christ. A blessing to the nations. A blessing to the people. A blessing to our families. But we have to live the part. I think the lesson that I'd like to leave with us today, though, is that message there. If you are in Christ, if you are working and acting according to His will, you are a blessing to all that are around you, even your enemies. And whether you realize it or not, when you live the Christian life in your work, in your ethics, in your family, you are influencing others. You are being a witness to others. And that is why it is so important that our faith goes with us when we leave the church. Our honesty, our integrity. And people are to be told it is because we are Christian why we act in such a manner. Because when we seek out and pursue God's plans for our lives, His place where He called us in that body of Christ, and we do it on His terms with integrity and honesty, honestly, the Holy Spirit will and does work through us. And our job is to plant and water. And when we do it according to God's will, it opens that door for the Holy Spirit to bring people to a loving knowledge of Himself. That's what our Lord did. He was a witness to the nation, for the people, for our behalf. And what does He tell us to do? We are to be like Him. We are to be a witness to the nations. We are to plant and water, but the Holy Spirit increases. And in this case, unfortunately, 10 people were healed physically, and only one came to faith. But our Lord still did His part. Let us do our parts. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, teach us to be a witness to the nations. Teach us that You, O Lord, and Your Holy Spirit can only bring the increase, but we must do the planting and the watering. Give us the strength and the wisdom to do it Your way, Jesus. Amen.